A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. Whisakisa. It's her and her friends. And they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen in between, welcome to a brand new episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. We are still at the Edinburgh Fringe and we're excited. How are you doing,
Ibs?
Good. Oh, so this week I've been joined by one half of the Fluffy Boys, Ibs.
Hi.
How are you doing, baby?
I'm good. Yeah? I'm good. It's been a good week.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was, I started off the Fringe nervous about gigs, but now I'm in the flow and it's like good fun to be here.
Yeah.
Endless opportunity and endless fun and stuff. Yes.
Caught up with much wrestling?
Yeah, actually. I've watched the YouTube bits because the internet in Edinburgh. Listen, Edinburgh, the signal, the internet. Something needs to change here, guys. Yeah, something needs to change. We need to put a temporary mask or something because it's very hard to do anything here on your phone.
I was thinking about we should go to Clash at Paris.
What, in August?
Yeah.
In this, like, next week?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what?
What are you laughing?
Well, after leaving the most expensive place in the world, you almost said, yeah, I'm going to go to Paris.
Why not?
All right, we'll talk after the podcast.
Is this like, how are you going to fund this?
I was like, how am I going to financially hemorrhage myself more?
get yourself a little like sugar mama at Edinburgh Fringe.
Hey, listen, if there's any available, want to hook a brother up to go to La Defense, I'm in. I'm in.
Also, did you watch AAA?
No, I didn't. That's something I need to get onto.
Do watch AAA.
Because I miss my guy. My two guys are on the bill, Mr. Dominic Mysterio and Mr. Iguana. So I need to get on it.
Have you seen the spot though with Mr. Iguana?
No, I haven't seen anything yet.
Can I tell you?
No.
Can I show you?
Yes.
Okay, we'll do this on the pod. We've never really done this on the pod. This is going to be the first time that...
I apologize. Listen, this is Edinburgh's fault. Don't blame me.
Okay, ready?
Are you still using normal YouTube? Oh, is that fit? Ooh!
Sorry, it's YouTube. We have not paid for...
I should have done it on my phone then. I've got
you got that kind of money?
Nah, I don't. I'll explain how I do that off the pod. It's not illegal, by the way. It's not illegal. I just want to...
Look at
that! Oh! Yes! Yes! Oh my God! Yes! The Benito!
Sorry.
Yeah. That was good. Yeah. That's a good wrestling.
That's what we love.
Good wrestling.
We love a bit of good wrestling.
All right.
Well, you excited? Yeah.
You need to watch. I will watch Triple Mania.
You need
is
to
it
watch
Triple Mania.
Yeah, Triple.
It's on YouTube, isn't it? No excuses.
Yeah, exactly. Right. No excuses.
I'ma download it.
It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, no, I can download it because I've got YouTube Premium, isn't it?
Well, this week we are joined by a very special guest at the clubhouse. So we might as well introduce them.
Yeah.
It's a very special episode.
Come on.
Yeah. We're going to call it the Black episode. Wakanda forever, everything like that. So please welcome into the club one of the pioneers here at the Edinburgh Fringe of black comedy. He showcases all the black comedians at the Black Alternative Showcase at the Edinburgh Fringe. Please welcome into the clubhouse, Mr. Che Burnley!
Yeah. I'm walking out inside, it's been a danger.
I'm going to go around because I don't want to break them.
Watching me, I walk alone.
Just do it to the camera. This is so much fun already. I'm watching you be like a 12-year-old. Oh my God, you're the kind of fan that we need.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Hello. I'm really good. I'm really good.
Yeah.
It's been a good morning for just a couple of us.
Yeah.
Not you.
But thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Let's start with how you got into wrestling.
Well, interesting story. My dad was a wrestler.
Hey.
Story I'll tell a lot, but my dad was a wrestler in the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, wow.
In the UK, I'll tell the whole story, right? So my dad came from Barbados for punishment and got sent to Oldham, right? I'm not even kidding. He tells this story. We went to Bellevue Racetrack and his cousin had took him on this fairground ride and he's at the top of this ride. It's raining. Can we swear?
Yeah.
Pissing it down. It's windy. It's Oldham. He's at the top of this sort of like roller coaster and he's going, I'm never going to be bad again. I'm never going to be bad again. And gets off it and he goes inside a hall and basically sees a load of wrestlers wrestling, and the guy who runs it sees him and goes, mate, you should be a wrestler. So he goes off and does some training, and then he get on his first wrestling match, he got paid more in a week than he ever did in a day.
Yeah, wow.
So he went out and bought himself a mohair suit so he could go and bounce that night. Yeah, he bought a green mohair suit because wrestling paid well back then. And on his first day of having that suit, somebody got thrown out. He went to pick him up to throw him further out, and he just did this. And it tore, not even on the seam. And from that point on, he did a lot of single stuff, but he was mainly a tag team wrestler in a group called the Black Aces. And I'm trying to find some information about them because Dad from Barbados and his mate from Trinidad, and they both had to pretend that they couldn't speak that much English. But they were still faces. It's so weird.
Rah.
Yeah. So
they did not realise that the Caribbean does speak English. So do you never got to see your dad wrestle?
Never got to see him wrestle.
Oh.
He was never that high. He wrestled people like Marty Jones, Cat Weasel. He was at the era of Big Daddy and Giant A-Stax, but he never really got onto TV. Oh. But he did like the local circuit, so he knows a lot. He knew a lot of the people.
So there's no footage or nothing like that?
Pardon?
There's no footage?
I don't think so. I'm trying to find posters and stuff like that, you know, sort of like there must be something somewhere, but it's hard to find that kind of local kind of Northwest. So there is a group of people, but they're all getting older. So it's sort of like the memories. Marty Jones, a lovely, lovely bloke, but have you seen him on there? He gets a bit confused sometimes when you see him on there. He runs a pub in Oldham, that's probably the best for him.
So you obviously got into wrestling through your dad, and then were you watching it on TV when you were growing up?
Yes, and I don't want to give away my age, but I remember WrestleMania 3. I'll give it away even more. I remember watching it at my cousin's house, so we used to get Coliseum or Silver Vision videos, VHS.
Oh,
Come on,
man.
I know
what Silver Vision is. Come on.
You're younger. You're paying compliments.
I like it. Cool.
So I started watching. I think the first video I ever bought was the double tape WrestleMania 4. It's terrible. Terrible. It wasn't bad. It's just the fact that Andre gives up the title belt to the Million Dollar Man, and then it's just sort of, and it's just, lots of it is just fluff. It's good, but anyway, so that was the first one I saw. But then I was more a WCW fan, so I really liked, at this time that I was growing up and was getting to my formative years, there was an amazing person called Ron Simmons who became the first black heavyweight champion of the world. And as I saw all those, me and my cousin just basically got loads of videos from the local video store. We didn't get any action films, any stuff like that. We were just getting out every single
wrestling.
But, yeah, because like I used to stay up till about 2 a.m. Maybe this is why I didn't do well in school. just watching, because like if you change, you did, so, like there used to be TVs where you could tune it, so like it go, and it was like HTV Wells. You could pick up in Oldham because it was and they would show a lot more WCW. So I got to see that, and then it all sort of like got knocked off. But then Sky came out in 92 and they had wrestling on there, but we were poor. So I always went around to my cousins or my mates and we watched all the wrestling pay-per-views there, which is just brilliant. But it's, again, they're all in the wrong day at the wrong time. Anyway, that's another conversation. Yeah. Why can't you put pay-per-views on at a decent time?
No, it's not going to happen.
Paris.
Yeah, Paris will be on at a decent time.
For us.
It's also Forbidden Door.
We're getting a few. Some are, all right, we'll give you some decent times. And we're like, when we're meant to be outside in the pub, we're like, oh, we're going to go wrestling because it's on at 10 for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, and it's also going to be on when you comedians who love wrestling are all trying to do the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We've had this conversation. Tony Khan, do something about it.
Yeah. do you remember, Che, was it 2 years ago where you ended up going to Wembley? Yeah, and then who did you get in charge of the Black Comedy Showcase?
It was you.
It was me.
You were in charge of the Black Comedy Showcase.
I was.
You left the Black Comedy Showcase in this boy's hands.
That's how much I wanted to go. As I went, I don't care who runs it. Hey. I don't care who takes the money. I just run it and you just,
chaos.
I got cheap tickets. The first one, cheap tickets. Absolutely. And I reckon it was about 20 rows from the front. And it was so good. So good for so cheap. And then the second year, me and my mates, we all just went, how much? Because you were just judging it. I did the last show on the Saturday, gave it to you on the Sunday, drove down on Saturday night to Liverpool to pick up all my mates from Liverpool, drove down Sunday morning, got there for the afternoon, parked up, had a pint. They had a pint. then we went and watched it, and then I drove back the same day.
To Edinburgh?
No, not to Edinburgh. Screw that. So back to Liverpool.
Oh, fine.
That was the last show. He did the last show. This is basically, to be honest with you, I didn't expect it to be still standing when I came back.
You were like, Ibs has tarnished my reputation. So who was your favourite wrestlers growing up?
I've mentioned him already, Ron Simmons. It's so weird. Part of the showcase that I do, the reason I have all the black acts on there is that I always say you can't be what you can't see, so you want to try and get more black acts out there and onto the main circuit and so that people can look up to them. And as a kid growing up, it was great seeing the Macho Man, all those kind of things, but Ron Simmons was my man because he won the title. But like the very first one of the acts this year, Cyrus McQueen, who is from America, brought me a t-shirt. But he sent me a really cryptic message. He went, "Ah, man, can I get on the showcase?" And he said, "Who's your favourite wrestler?" And I said, "I'm going to go, well, Bret Hart or Danielson or something like that." And I just went, "Ah, you know what, actually, Special Delivery Jones." Right, I don't know if you know who this guy is. He is the first black man to feature, I think the first black man to feature on WrestleMania. I think it's WrestleMania 2 or WrestleMania 1. He goes up against King Kong Bundy. And up until, I think it was Santino Marella or something like that, or Daniel Bryan, he had the shortest ever match on WrestleMania. Oh. Special Delivery Jones. Oh my God, there's a black guy. Oh cool, I can see myself. And that's it. And it was like, this is going to be the next several years underneath Vince.
So obviously you've watched it since you were little. I'm not going to reveal the age, but how do you feel about the evolution of black wrestlers now?
You know what? I don't know. Without getting slanderous, sometimes in certain wrestling companies you go, I think there is still a ceiling. And in other companies you go, oh, actually, they don't mind. It's so weird because sometimes you, are we paranoid? You go, are we paranoid about this? And then you go, oh, they've crushed them again. Kofi.
The Brock Lesnar.
Have you seen how it's like every time a black person's had the title, it's been Brock Lesnar to like finish them in like 5 minutes and it's a wrap in your life.
Oh, the 90s Brock, which was Triple H.
Triple H. Listen, I love Triple H, but the child in me will never be a, will never call him a good wrestler because Like, kayfabe me, yeah, hates that man's guts. Yeah.
People went to catering. Yeah. Came back, got popcorn. Booker T there. Didn't pin him. He just went so.
I think world records have been beaten in the time that it took him to pin Booker T. So like, I think the 200 meter record is faster. Genuinely,
yeah, it probably is
faster than it took Booker T, Triple H to get onto Booker T.
We need to check this afterwards because I also want to know. Genuinely. But so like on that side, and I'm not trying to take sides, but Swerve Strickland's rise at the moment, I think, is kind of really good. Yeah.
It's definitely the black folder guy.
This show is brilliant. Can we do this every day? But yeah, it's sort of, it's, I don't know if it's a glass ceiling, but it does feel like so. But again, I'll just have a go at WWE. Sometimes they're booking, I do think it goes, you get to here and then we knock you down again.
Yeah.
And it does. Even if it's, let's say it's just across the board, if it's a black act, it does ruin them.
Yeah,
it does ruin them.
Apart from probably The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock.
But The Rock is a nightmare. Yeah.
None of us want to say what all of us think. Do you remember Chappelle's racial draft?
Yeah. he's not. He would. We would draft him, and he would be asking for another pick. That's the vibe. That's the vibe I get with Dwayne.
Yes, but and also
like he's playing a white man in a movie,
and also yeah,
what's the new movie?
Is it
Pumping Iron?
Oh yeah,
or
yeah.
Whatever, not Pumping Iron, whatever it's called.
Oh yeah, the guy who came
Smashing
before,
Machine.
Yeah, but also the final boss stuff that he did as well. The final boss. I don't want to, you don't want to go too negative. Nah, but let's Swerve Strickland. Swerve Strickland is great. And also, I'm trying to think of sort of like who's been world champion. Black world champions recently.
Big E.
Big E.
Kofi Kingston.
Yeah. Both smoked by Brock Lesnar.
But both, when they lost the titles, I automatically was like, you're not going to get that back.
No, yeah, ever.
You're not going to get that back.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
A bit like Jey Uso as well, to an extent as well.
I sort of get that one though, because when you read, again, I'd love to read dirt sheets and you're going, this can't be true. Mm. But it's just sort of like, oh, well, Jay felt the pressure too much. Because that was a thing as well. It's like some people can't handle the pressure of the belt. I always felt sorry for Guerrero for that. Because he went, oh, he got the belt. And then he was like, oh, issues and stuff like that. And he went, please take this off me. Mm. And it's just sort of like, if Jay's done that as well, it's like, fair enough. At least you've sort of been honest and sort of like, and they might bring it back. But you just think to yourself, well, you've had your chance, bye.
Yeah.
We're going to get another one in. And even like on the women's side, so bad that Naomi's got pregnant. Because I just thought, there's so much potential here.
Yeah.
And then there was like Jade Cargill, and you go, she's too green. She's too green. Yeah. I love her, but she's too green. And then you just go, so thank you, but like...
Yeah.
You've marked your copybook and we'll go on to people who we can trust.
Wrestle Club Podcast.
So what promotions are you watching currently?
I'm trying to watch a lot more independent stuff, but I'm finding it hard because there is so much wrestling at the moment. Mm. I try and watch WWE, I try and watch AEW. Basically, because the show that I'm doing, Atomic, is sort of like I'm ring announcing, so I'm trying to learn as much on the independent scene over here. So I'm having to watch loads of stuff, and it's just sort of you've got to pick up storylines, and you've got to pick up. So there's like you were talking before about AAA, but then there's also so it's that, and then New Japan, because there's that thing, and you're going, so in certain, have you ever had one of those weeks where obviously WWE try and counter program AEW, and it's just like about six or seven pay per views, and like also Collision, and then
like,
also
it was like it wasn't WrestleMania weekend, or was it WrestleMania? It was like an AEW pay per view. I'll tell you what it was. It was the Evolution week.
Yeah,
it was Evolution week. It was AEW pay per view, and then NXT pay per view, and then it was Evolution. And I was like, Raw, SmackDown,
Collision, and Dynamite. That's like 24 hours of wrestling.
Yeah.
In a week.
Yeah.
And it comes to a point where you go, I can't watch this. I like ice cream, but yeah. I have eaten too much ice cream. Please, can I have something else?
So who are you currently enjoying currently?
Oh, yeah, it's Swerve's good. Swerve, I love Swerve. Never been a fan. Weirdly, I'm not a fan of Hangman. MJF, I think, is good, but something needs to change again. Hurt Business. Oh, again, black wrestling. Hurt Business. Oh, I'm so
we
upset.
We hurt people.
You two should become a tag team. Maybe that's the thing.
Crime time. Well, I'm back in, you know, I could train again. Everybody keeps asking me, it's a sort of like, when are you going to get in the ring, Jay?
You do look like you could, like...
I did do training. Yeah. So can I plug the show?
Yeah, I was going to get onto that. Come on. You can do it.
Atomic Pro Wrestling is based on a lot of us who, behind the scenes, went and trained at Fighting Spirit. So that's the wrestling company, the wrestling school that Gibbo, Zach Gibson, and JD, James Drake, from the Grizzled Young Veterans, basically ran near Liverpool. And so that's where this is from. That's where the show is from, is that it's all people who have gone through there, and we just wanted to give them a chance to sort of like highlight stuff. I have trained 3 times. Once ages ago when I was at uni, Sheffield Hammerlock, and I got suplexed and landed on my ass and bruised my coccyx, and it didn't heal for 18 months. I could not sit down properly. I never told anybody. I just, why's Chase at an angle? Well, you know what? It was still at a time where wrestling was not, where wrestling was not sort of, we're all, it's cool again. I was like, oh God, I've got it. Like that. And then the second time, I was training in Manchester with a load of comedians. So who was there? I think Red Redman might have been there. I think Kev Dewsbury, all people that loves Manchester based acts. I drove from Liverpool, did some training. Right near the end, I think Kev Dewsbury is a lot smaller than me. I said, just hit me with a proper clothesline. I'll take it properly because it'll look weird if you go like that. So he did, and I ran into it, and he's supposed to do a flat back bump, and I didn't. I landed on my elbow, and I just did this, boop, right next to my ear, and my clavicle had dislocated. So I had to drive all back to Liverpool one-handed, which is really weird. And then the third time, my own stupidity, I tripped over my own feet, landed on my arms, and cracked my ribs. So I'm thinking about getting back in the ring and getting healthy. But first, I think I will insure myself. So, what was the question again?
You were talking about Atomic.
So we set it up so that I wouldn't hurt myself anymore. Yeah. So you can ring announcers. So like, thank God for that. So we set it up, and it's, I think we're 2.5 years in now. And it was basically based on that. So we're trying to get eyes on wrestlers who don't normally get a chance. It's a bit like the Black Comedy Showcase, but with wrestlers. And it was wrestled in a brewery, Asvex Brewery. We started with about 120. And then we realised we could fit some more people in. And then we realised we could fit some more people in. And then we realised that it was too big for it. So then the people who run Bongo's Bingo came to us. And they went, do you want to come and do this show in content? So it's where they run Bongo's Bingo. And we're like going, oh my God, yes. And it means that now we can do sort of like loads of proper graphics. It's like running your own proper wrestling company. So like it was so good because I was stuck up here, so I couldn't ring announce, but we had our champion Scott Oberman. Just to let you know, he's a heel.
Fuck you, Scott Oberman.
Oh, I didn't know I could say that. I'm the ring announcer, so I've got to be kind of neutral.
You're going to be biased. I'm saying it.
Scott Oberman, amazing wrestler, but a bit of a twat. And so like Tony Wright, who is a former comedian. Yeah, and Tony Wright went up against him and came up short. And it was I was gutted because Tony was our first ever champion, and I was like, I was so proud of him because he was like, it's a black champion, and we've got it. And Tony Wright is a former comedian, and then he lost it the next time round. So it's sort of like he's been trying to climb it back up, thought he was going to get it, and then Scott Oberman beat him. So we don't know who's going to sort of challenge for that, but it just means Tony got to do this massive visual where he had lost him. Normally has. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? What's that song? So that's not his music, but because we had the big screen, he went, is it all right if I do a different one? And we had Lost in Music, but it's a long Dimitri and Palette Paris version. So it's like loads of strings. Lost in Music, caught in a trap. And it's just him sort of like in front of a white screen, silhouetted, doing all these poses. And it just looked amazing.
Aww.
And it's just sort of like, it's so nice to be able to sort of go to wrestlers who are on the independent scene and go, we will try and produce this as much as you can. You know, it's not progress, it's not sort of ICWR at that level, but we're getting there. And it's so great to sort of bring people in and go, let's have some fun.
Are you enjoying the ring announcing then?
I am. But I wish I could remember stuff so much better. It's just you're doing ring announcing.
I still have the cards.
Yeah. But like, I see other people and they're just going, ladies and gentlemen, blah, 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 and they're going, I'm not going. Also, for this, for any wrestlers out there, please stop changing all your bloody stuff. It's sort of like, so you go in and you go, so is it the same as before? And they go, oh no, I've got this new thing now. Yeah. You go, oh God. And then you don't want to screw it up because then it looks sort of weird.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're trying to remember, because I'm part of the show, I'm trying to sort stuff out backstage as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just sort of like, you hit this cue and we've got to do this and this thing might happen afterwards. And we just had Rob Drake, who's James's brother, Kemper, who wrestles up in North, is an absolute brute, and they've just been knocking seven bells of shit out to each other. And then after a match, Kemper just basically slammed him on the pallets that lead up to the ring and cracked them. And I was just stood next to it and just went, oh, oh. And I was just like going, well, anyway, please don't be dead.
That's what I like ring announcing, because you can be a fan at the same time. Yeah, you can watch it and just be a fan and just watch it. And when stuff happens, you're like, oh, that was crazy. That was in front of me.
Nobody told me this was happening.
Yeah.
So now I'm ad-libbing.
Yeah, I love it. But in regards to, like, obviously the fact that we've got Ibs on the podcast, I've got to ask you about Bunda.
I mean, this is the
mine.
No.
The Bundas.
The wrestling Bundas.
Oh right.
We need to start saying Bundas on the podcast.
I think you guys have put this rhetoric on me, and I'm tired of it. Yeah.
Well, no, it's because Tony Wright once came out as the Bundertaker. So when you said Bundas, I was like going, have you seen the shows? by the way, all of our shows are free on YouTube. So if you want to watch any of them, they're all free there.
Bundertaker.
We do a Halloween show. I so want you to come up for the Halloween show. It's so much fun. And basically all of the acts get to do whatever they want. And he came out as the Bundertaker.
And he
did a leg drop. But he put padding in his ass.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he put a load of padding in his ass.
I could just imagine like a bashment version of The Undertaker's theme song.
So you're basically asking me if I'm a pervert.
No. No, obviously there was loads of females now that's on the wrestling programs.
I feel like this is a trap.
No. It's not a trap.
It's a trap.
We're just wondering, do you have a favourite female wrestler at this moment in time?
No, we've just discussed that before. No, it does look, when I go this, you go, do you think she's got a name? So, you know what? Two of my favourites, and I think the match has just happened, so it would be on YouTube. The last one they did at content, Holly Barlow and Lana Austin basically have combined to become Team Lally. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. But like, so.
Yeah, Lana, Mark Cram is also a fan of Lana.
There's a lot of people who are a fan of her. Yeah. Not a singing. I'm sorry, Lana. You know how I feel about your singing. But yeah, it's great to see them two together. I don't know what the tag team's going to be. Well, the tag team's going to be called Lally, but I don't know what the finishing move might be. But
but you're not going to AEW, are you?
I'm not, because I've got a show which I'm really annoyed about now. I do. You know what? It's all about the craft. However, if I could get out of it, I would do. I'm working at Bannerman's, and half the staff are going, going, and they went, do you want a ticket, Che? Do you want a ticket? I was like going, I do, but.
I mean, I could run the showcase again.
So I can't go.
Well, you know, Tegan, who has appeared on this podcast, I don't know if it's going to come up before or after your episode. Yeah. We'll figure that out. But she did her show the other day, Chokeslam.
I saw that last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I did the choreography. I did the open choreography for it.
Ooh.
She's talented. But she said that Brody Lee was in her show the other day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of random people just wondering.
Oh, Danny, podcast homie, he flyed Kyle O'Reilly for our show. Yeah.
Why aren't they all over here just getting drunk with us?
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
Guys, we really need to sort this out next year because I bet.
Hang out at the Monkey Barrel, people. On, where are you?
This is how far I plan ahead is that I know next year that their show is on the 30th.
Yeah. Finally, Tony Khan. Finally, Tony Khan.
I'm not going to lie. That's probably going to be. I'm bookmarking that. Now. Yeah. We're pulling up Wembley Park Station. Yeah. Everyone in full t-shirt. Yeah. We're not playing games.
I think we should just collect all the comedians.
We just do a wrestle. We're gonna do something.
Yeah.
We're gonna do a massive watch party
somewhere.
No, we're there.
So if you want to fund us comedians that'd be lovely.
Monkey Barrel, hi. Listen, big content that you can do, you know. Think about it. Big content available. Come on, guys. Just saying, innit?
I love how much we all love it so much. He goes, oh, you've been nominated for this and that. Like, I don't care. Yeah. Is there anywhere that's showing the forbidden door? Which there might be, actually.
Yeah.
Wrestle Club Podcast.
So we asked you for this podcast if you were to invite three people to your dinner party, wrestlers or people associated with wrestling, who would you bring?
So my first one is William Regal. And that is because I have met him and he is a lovely person and a massive comedy nerd. It was so lovely because I know him through a few other people. Jim Smallman, I've gigged with him. He's absolutely adorable. Worked for WWE, still does to a degree. It's so much fun watching him work now because he's going around the country.
Yeah, I saw him the other day. Yeah.
And people are sort of like going, oh, you must be tapped up by so many wrestlers. Hey, mate, how you doing, Jim? Through Jim and Chris Brooker and other people like that, I've got to meet Regal. And his knowledge of comedy is amazing. Old school comedy. And he just likes fun. And one of the reasons I'd love to talk to him is just to talk more comedy about it rather than wrestling, because he used a lot of stuff in his stuff. And he did a lot of drag stuff. So it was always dress. He was always, oh, you've lost a match to wear a wench's dress. And then it basically comes down on stage and he starts doing that.
Yeah.
And it's basically, he nicked that from Les Dawson.
Oh.
Yeah, so he basically said, he was turning to me and he said, oh yeah, obviously I nicked that. And you know, I like it when wrestlers take from other things. Like Jericho is another one where he took the whole Spinal Tap thing. And it's just sort of, you've seen that bit where he's just sort of like trying to find, there's the door. He's just like, you've lifted that, literally lifted that from Spinal Tap. But like William Regal, I think his knowledge of not just wrestling. There used to be a thing on 411 called something like the small details or something like that, or the little things. And he was always in it because it was all about just, you know, wiping your feet before you get in the ring, or sort of like just a little bit of a thing like that when he's doing a hold to make it look even more realistic. When Zach Gibson was training us, he said basically you're trying to show somebody who might be up in the gods up there, they've got to be able to see what you're doing. And if you're just going who's going to see that?
Yeah,
you've got to really go like that. And that Regal's one of those people, old school people, who you just go, you've got such a wealth of knowledge from so many different backgrounds. You know, at Lytham St. Anne's, going doing the wrestling fighting in Blackpool, where it's sort of like, who can last three rounds with this guy? Yeah, going, good God. His story is just so interesting. So the Regal would definitely be on there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a manager. And I don't know whether or not, I think I'm going to go for Heyman. Heyman, because I guess he's got the stories and he knows so much stuff. So he's.
I would want Heyman.
Yeah, Heyman's just sort of like I nearly heard to Bobby the Brain Heenan because he's old school and he was funny and he got it all. It's just like some managers just get it.
Yeah.
Other managers, it's just like they stand there and just go, oh.
It's like some people did, like, they fell into management where, like, it feels like Paul Heyman and Bobby the Brain Heenan were, like, meant to be. This was their calling. Like, just, in Jimmy Hart as well, to an extent as well.
Just people who you go, will you... Like Gorilla Monsoon always said it best with Bobby Heenan. He said, will you shut up?
Yeah.
And it's just like you want your manager to just draw that. Hey, if you haven't got the ability to speak, you want your manager to be able to go, this guy is amazing. And you, again, Heyman's work with the Tribal Chief and everything that he's doing now with Seth Rollins, there's always a reason. There's always a reason why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
So you go, I get why you're doing it, but I hate you so much. Yeah. And again, all the stuff that he's done, ECW, all that kind of stuff, the history that he's got, that's another second person. And my final one, I think, would be Ron Simmons. I think it would be Ron Simmons or one of the Nation of Domination. Mark Henry, I think, would be interesting, but I think just because Ron was the first black champ that I saw, and I went apeshit when that happened. Mm. And I was just, I do stuff for the love of wrestling, and I was helping Chris Booker out because he was interviewing people in the room. So Cal Val was doing stuff as well. And I went, can you just go around the audience and just sort of hold microphones? The Nation of Domination. So they had Mark Henry, they had Ron Simmons, they had Godfather. Mm-hmm. Who else was there?
Owen Hart.
You know what? Actually, I was going to pick Bret Hart just so that we could go, right, the whole, just tell us about everything that happened in the screw job.
Yeah.
I just thought, no, Ron Simmons would be better. But yeah, so it was the Nation of Domination. And then afterwards, I was just backstage as they were coming off, and I just shook his hand and went, oh, thank you so much for winning the belt. And I was like, oh, thank you, man. And I was like, I got to say thank you to Ron Simmons.
Oh, that's great. And it's just like a childhood dream.
Yeah, and it's weird when you get that kind of thing, and they're nice people. But again, I'd be interested to see how I've heard him talk a little bit about his attitude to being a black wrestler. And the shit that he had to put up with, and the changes, and all the kind of stuff, and some of the gimmicks that they gave him.
Was it the Minotaur when he was...
No, it was like a gladiator, so he had a silver helmet, and he was called Farouk something or other. I think it was, but it was just sort of like, it was the first initial kind of thing, and it just looked shit.
Well, we all remember Kofi Kingston's Jamaican accent, don't we? Yeah, we all remember that.
But again, Ron Simmons was also in Doom. Have you ever seen Doom as a tag team? So it's Butch Reed. Reed, the natural Butch Reed, who's a black guy who had his hair dyed blonde. that was the natural. And they were Doom. And them and the Steiners, at one point, were one of the most dominant... You know, like, people going about Legion of Doom being really vicious? Mm. The Steiners, horrible, horrible bastards.
Yeah.
Doom, horrible, horrible bastards. Because they just... Do you know when you see spine busters and you just go, that actually busted it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what Doom would do.
Yeah.
Just like, the first they came out with executioner's masks on, and Teddy Long was their manager.
Teddy Long
was going to be in place of Heyman as well. Because he's got the story. But Ron
Everything would end up being a tag team.
One on one with the Undertaker.
Yeah. That means it would be four people at the table.
Yeah, it would end up being four people at the table. Do you think that racism in wrestling has got better?
I don't know, because the problem with America is that there is other factors that are happening over there that I think will have an impact on it. When my dad wrestled, I thought when he said we'd wrestled and we pretended that we couldn't speak English, I went, oh, okay, so then you were the heels. And he went, oh, no, we were the faces. He said basically two guys in pith helmets and safari suits and a big butterfly net was coming out going, we're going to teach these savages a damn good lesson. And then people boo them. So I was like going, oh, right, okay, so it's the flip of that. But he said still, people still said stuff to me outside and women took the pins out and stuck them in my arse. Yeah, he told me that. It was like a bob,
Bobby pins.
He went right on my arse. It must have hurt him because he was really annoyed, but he can't turn around and slap a granny. So it's all about, sometimes it's a bit context, because in the 70s, my dad experienced a lot more racism directly. when he was wrestling. Then it sort of comes where, but then you get, we were talking about this before, it's obviously got better that Vince McMahon can't say the N-word on the thing.
Yeah,
so
goodness.
That was a thing. People forget that was a thing. That Booker T, is sort of like that whole build-up, I thought Triple H had to lose because he said, you people.
Yeah.
You people. And you go, oh, but they're all gone now, or they're behind the scenes. And you go, well, yeah, but like, Triple H still sits with Vince, and he's like an old grandparent.
Yeah.
Who's and we all know about Hulk Hogan.
Oh! Hulk Hogan. That was my favourite thing, is that these, never read the comments, but I did like reading the sort of numbskull comments of going, I don't know why these people boycotted Hulk Hogan's thing. And he goes, because they constantly said, we don't like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
He goes, how could the New Day not be on the thing? And how come these people are looking sad, looking not sad or not angry or anything, they're just, whatever, chewing gum. Somebody pointed out somebody was chewing gum. It's like the man was a racist. He just said so much stuff. Ah, oh, yeah, but he's dead now. So you got to be like, you know, you got to do over.
Yeah.
Is this something? No. So I would like to think that things are better because, Swerve Strickland, champion, and it's sort of like, people go, oh, can you put a title on a black person? Yeah. And he carried it really well.
Yeah.
And it made sense when he lost it as well. And he's sort of like still got an arc to come back into it.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of like they're saying Big E or Kofi Kingston or someone like that. It's sort of like, you've had the title. On to the next person. Let's get it back to who we want it to be on.
Yeah.
You're going, Brock Lesnar? There you go. So
well, apart from the bloodline, do you see there being another black champion in the future?
Male, I don't know. Female, yes. I think there's a lot more potential for female wrestling. But male, it's just sort of like, that again, in NXT, I've not been watching as much NXT as like Trick Williams is there. Is Trick Williams NXT?
No, TNA World Champion, yeah.
That's how much I watch TNA.
Yeah.
I do apologise.
But he is NXT.
I'll tell you who.
Last Legend.
Yeah.
It might have a potential, and he was on our show, our first show at Content, Leon Slater. Leon Slater is amazing. I think he's great. His size probably is more sort of like, yeah, but he's great. And he's going, if he can start getting through and sort of changing the dial of how black wrestlers are perceived. It's just, in the UK, I think it's better than America, but you're looking at it and going, do you ever get that feeling that you go, I think somebody might be racist, but I can't prove it.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
And you don't want to poo-poo anything and go, oh, this company's this or that company's that. You want to sort of like go, let's just try and help those people and support those people and cheer those people.
Yeah.
But sometimes they want to push who they want to push.
Mm. I definitely agree. In to end the podcast, we're going to play Latin rankings.
Oh!
So I'm going to give you 5 wrestlers.
Yeah.
5 black wrestlers, and you must rank them blindly.
Okay.
You can't retract your answer.
Okay.
It has to be your first answer. So it goes, it's 1 to 5, 1 being the highest, 5 being the lowest.
Yeah.
1 being the highest, 5 being the lowest.
Can we start with?
Okay. We're going to start, we're going to do men, and then I'm going to go over to Ibs, and we're going to do women.
Oh.
Ha!
What's
your button now?
Okay. Ready? Okay.
Yeah.
Shelton Benjamin.
Oh.
Yeah, some good
story. I really like, because
he's another one that got done dirty where they could have put a strap on him.
Jesus, yeah.
He's been like, and now
it's weird that he's Brock's mate, but like, and Brock really respects him. I want to go high, but I know that there might be other people who come along, so I'm gonna. You know what? Screw it. 2.
Oh.
2. I think he's an absolute freak specimen in terms of everything that he could do. There's a ladder spot he did at one point. And you're like,
God. The first Money in the Bank.
You're like, Jesus. Insane. He goes, how would you not put something on him?
Yeah.
And he went, that's 2.
We'll just make your hair blonde and do like the natural.
we'll get your mum in.
Yeah.
Damn you.
That's how we'll build you up. We're going to get this person to play your mum and play every black stereotype.
Yeah, that was
bruv,
so... Not mum, mama.
Mama. Oh, listen. That was a dark time, bro.
Jesus.
That was peak racist Vince era. Mid-2000s. He was like, fuck you all. All of you. Sorry.
Yeah, calm down.
Ron R-Truth Killings.
Oh, good. Good. But so wait a minute. So as Ron Killings, not as but Ron Killings or R-Truth? Both together.
Yeah.
Ah.
Because he's a historian as well. First NWA.
Yeah, and he's sort of like, I found it weird that they went, oh, seen as a heel, and then Ron Killings is a heel now. Yeah. And they went, oh, it's all a dream.
Yeah.
And then they're all, and they're all back to it. And he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to go. Historical, but I'm going to go five. I'm going to go five.
Okay. Five?
Fair.
Because he should have won more, but like he's like when he went up against Cena, he was in a Custer's outfit. Yeah, again, you got going. You were on the wrong side of the war.
Booker T.
Oh, he should be higher, but like for Shooky Ducky Quack Quack, I'm gonna rank him low.
Yeah,
I'm gonna.
Sorry, that's the second time I've done that.
That's But then I, one of my favourite all-time skits is Price Check on a Jackass.
Yeah.
That is one of the greatest sort of them just in the grocery store. Yeah, this is hard. I thought it was gonna be easy. That's three or four. If only I knew who's coming next. I'm unfortunately for Booker, I'm going to mark him down because he should have kicked out at Triple H.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm four. Yeah, okay. He's going four. Cool. Going four.
So you've got three and one left.
Yeah. Jesus.
The Boogeyman.
Damn it! You've done me. I'm hoping there's nobody worse than that. Three, he's got to go three, hasn't it? Oh God, Boogie, no, what's man. One? At least Shelton's
you're
two.
Out of order.
At least Shelton,
you're
yeah.
out of order. You know,
rude, yeah. rude.
You're out of order.
Kofi Kingston.
I'll live with that.
Yeah,
I'll live with that. Yeah. I would probably switch belt with Shelton with that, but Kofi Kingston. He was done dirty. His journey there, I think, is inspirational.
Yeah.
So I'm actually all right with him being number one because it is just sort of stupid. And you're like going, fair play to Randy Orton that he actually allowed that to come back round full circle and own it. And that build where he shouldn't have been in there, but he was in there, and just great. It was just great. And it was like, yeah! This is a really good moment. Obviously, the end of like thing, and the stuff that he's done with New Day as well. He's took a lot of shit, and made it great. I don't know if the three of us would agree that we're all kind of geeky, but the fact that they made it, they made all of those references, bootios, all the sort of anime references and all that kind of stuff, and it's just sort of like, oh yeah, we can cosplay because they're doing cosplay stuff. And I'm going, I'm not afraid to go out now and sort of wear anything.
How do you feel about the New Day right now, where they are? Yeah.
It's a shame.
It's a
goddamn shame. Just get them back to the gospel. Yeah. I can see what they're doing. They're trying to build a new tag division, but I don't... Does WWE care about tags?
No. Not anymore.
It's like, you know, we're bringing the motor sheep.
Not anymore. Triple H cared about tag team wrestling when he was in NXT, but I think he was doing that to impress Vince, to like, be like, look what I can do.
Yeah, you can't do this.
Yeah, it's like, you. Imagine if I had the whole thing.
DIY... Motor City Machine Guns. But they're all coming in and you're going, oh, these can have bangers of matches, and they just go, nope. It's just sort of like, oh, why are you doing this? Street Profits as well. Yeah. But yeah, the New Day at the moment, it's just sort of like, it's a damn shame.
Yeah. For real.
Okay, right, Ibs, you're going to make it quick.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to make it quick.
Boom.
Oh, straight answers.
Okay.
Ready?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Don't do me like that.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Jay Cargo.
Five.
Naomi.
Are we doing at this moment in time?
No. Okay. Can't be.
Body of work. Two.
Athena.
Okay.
4.
Oh.
Alicia Fox.
Oh, that's your boogeyman. I'm the boogeyman. Number one.
Three.
So that means you got one and two left.
No, that was it. That's what, where did you go?
No, you got one and four left.
Okay.
No.
Hey.
Because you said Jake Hargle.
Five.
Naomi.
Two.
And Athena,
four.
Yeah.
Then Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox is?
Three.
So you got one left.
Yeah.
Lash legend.
Okay.
It's one.
Okay.
You got to put it
one.
Do
you know what? Listen. Lash legend.
We had the same kind of thing. Yeah. It was just sort of like, damn it.
You know, like, Lash legend is good. Good wrestler on the rise.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One.
Yeah, so one, innit? One. Okay. I'm not mad at Lash legend.
Well, thank you, Che. Thank you, Che, for joining us on this podcast. It's been lovely to have you.
You know what? This is a great podcast, and yeah. I'm so glad I got to be on it.
Please do go to Atomic if you're ever in Liverpool. It's a great promotion. Please do go support them as well. As always, I'm joined by amazing guests on this podcast. This week, I've been joined by a wonderful guest, Che Burnley. I've been joined by one half the Fluffy Boys, Ibs. Always, I am the head of the table, Sikisa. Enjoy, and this has been another episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. Wrestle Club podcast.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club podcast. With Sakisa, it's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!